And I want you to take your Bible this morning and I want you to turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Now, everybody, young people, teenagers, it's time to be very serious. Don't play with your cell phone. Don't talk. You just participate just like all the rest of us. Psalm 139. Find verse number 1. Then if you would stand with me, please. Psalm 139, starting with verse number 1. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently, and I'll read as right this second. Here we go. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsettings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. The sermon this morning is called, Whither Shall I Flee? Whither shall I flee? I'm going to pray in a second and ask the Lord to bless, but young people, let me explain. Teenagers, young people, look up this week. One of the reasons why I make such a big deal about you being quiet and being still during church is that maybe not you, but somebody here desperately needs to hear what's said today. And if you're playing, if you're talking or giggling, people's attention will be on you instead of up here. That could even turn into a bad thing. That could even turn into being sinful for you because you got people's mind off of the preaching of the Word of God. That's why we're very careful how we handle ourselves at this point. Now, we will laugh. We will have a good time at certain parts of the service, but we'll do it together. We wouldn't want you to independently distract people. And that's why I would just want to explain it to you so you children and teenagers would understand it. Well, let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help us as we open your book and study your word. God, we want to be challenged. We need to be helped. We are a needy people. And we need you today to meet with us. Some need to learn today. Some need to be challenged today. Some need to be warned. God, we'll leave that to you. You'll apply the sermon to each of us in the way that you feel best. But help none of us to miss what you have for us. Holy Spirit of God, take this sermon and use it to help someone in a supernatural way. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. I'm going to remind you of a couple of verses that I read there. In verse number 7 of Psalm 139, the Lord said, Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or where shall I flee from thy presence? Folks, just so you know, he uses the word flee. That would be equivalent to our word run. He's saying, you can't flee from my spirit. You cannot flee from my presence. In verse number 8, he said, If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If we went to heaven, God's there. If you went to hell, he is the one that is monitoring everything that's going on in hell. You can't escape God. In verse number 9, he said, If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea. In other words, if you got up early, early in the morning and you said, You know what, I'll get up so early, I'll get out ahead of God. You can't get up too early for God. He's already there. He's already up. And you go to the sea. You say, I'm going to go somewhere. I'll go out in the water. And if you've ever been out on the water, you can go a long way out there. There's a lot of water. You say, Well, I'll get me a boat and I'll go so far out that I can get away from God. I'm sorry. He's there waiting for you. He's there. In verse number 10, it says, Even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. He said, I'm there. He said, Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? Where can you run where the Spirit of God can't reach? I'm sorry, there's nowhere. Where can you run where the presence of God cannot get to you? I'm sorry, there's no place that you can go. You can flee from God, but you can't hide. Can't hide. Could you hide in a deep, dark cave? Well, you could flee to a deep, dark cave, but you could flee, but you cannot hide from God. You say, could I go to the deepest sea? You could go to the deepest sea. You could flee. You could put on a snorkel and a mask and try to swim to the bottom of the deepest sea. And you could flee there. You could run there, but you cannot hide from God. He's there. In the depths of self-entertained depression, you can't hide from God. In the thickest tropical rainforest, you cannot hide from God. The farthest universe away, you cannot hide from God. You could go to the highest mountain. You say, if I could go to the highest mountain, could I flee to the mountain? You can flee to the mountain, but you can't hide from God at the mountain. Even in a mental high that you bring on from drugs or alcohol, you can flee, but you can't hide. The deepest canyon of the part of the Grand Canyon, you could run there. You say, I'm going to run to the deepest part of the Grand Canyon, and I'm going to run and try to get away from God. You can run, and you can hide, but you can't get away from Him. You can't get away from His Spirit, and you can't get away from the presence of God. You could try to hide in a bottle of Jack Daniels. You can hide, but you're going to be found. He'll find you. God will find you. In the, you know, whatever it is. This God, you say, well, I know somebody that works for the CIA or the FBI, and maybe they could hide me. They could hide you from man, but they can't hide you from God. In the Bible, there's a story about a man named Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5, Jonah tried to flee God, but he couldn't hide from God. The story is God wanted Jonah to go to a place called Nineveh. And he wanted him to go there and preach. And Jonah didn't want to do it. So he flees to a place called Tarshish. He went down to Joppa. And the Bible actually says he fled the presence of the Lord. He had it in his brain. He said, I'm going to get on a boat and I'll get away from this thing that's eating at me. God's on me about something and I want to get away from it. So he actually got on a boat. He said, I'll get away from this feeling. You know what happened? He got to where he wanted to go, thinking he was going to get away from this thing that God was dealing with him about. And he found out God was there. God was there. A storm comes on the ship that he's on, actually. He gets thrown overboard. You know, he gets swallowed by the whale. He said, well, at least he's away from God. He's in the whale's belly. No, God was there too. God was there too. See, folks, we can flee, but you're not going to hide from God. The man by the name of Elijah, he tried to run from God. Elijah had fought and he won a great battle. It's called the Battle at Mount Carmel from 1 Kings chapter number 19. He defeated the false prophets of a lady by the name of Jezebel. And so what she did is she put a price out on his head. She said, you're going to be dead just like my false prophets are now dead. And Elijah took off and he ran. He goes into the wilderness and he ends up virtually depressed. He's underneath a juniper tree. He's depressed. He says, I just want to die. But you know, he could flee. He could run. He could do whatever he wanted. But I got to tell you something. God was there. And he did not get away. And everybody look right this direction. Elijah did not get away from God. And Jonah could not get away from God. Because you can flee, but you're not going to hide from God. Peter ran at one point in his life. In John chapter 21, Jesus had been crucified and he'd been buried. And for all practical purposes, the man named Peter was on Jesus' staff. And Peter quit. He gave up his ministry. Maybe he gave up his Sunday school class or his bus route or whatever it was that he was doing. And he goes back to his old fishing business. And he basically is running from God at this point in his life. He is fishing one day and all of a sudden, guess who showed up? Jesus. Jesus. But Peter thought, I'm going to go out there on that boat. I'm going to get away from the church building, but I'm going to go out there on that boat and I am going to get away from God. Jesus shows up and let me tell you something. If you're on a boat and you're running from God, did you know that the water won't stop Jesus from coming to you? I see a couple times that they might have thought, well, nah, you can't get me, Jesus. You're on shore. I am on the boat. You know what Jesus will do? He'll walk on the water. But he didn't have to walk on the water to get to him because he was already in the boat, whether Peter realized it or not. He was already under the juniper tree, whether Elijah realized it or not. He was already in the whale's belly, whether Jonah realized it or not. Because you can flee God, but you can't hide from him. You can't hide from me. Jeremiah tried to get away from God and the things that God wanted him to do. Listen to this verse. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 9, it says, "Then I said," this is Jeremiah speaking, "I will not make mention of him," speaking of God, "nor speak any more in his name." What had happened is Jeremiah had been through it, and he said, "Phooey on this. I'm not going to speak for Jesus anymore. I'm not going to witness anymore. I'm going to get away from this whole church mess." That's what Jeremiah said. But we're not done with the verse. He said, "Then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." But there's a word here. It's the word but, B-U-T. That's a conjunction. That means there's more to this. It says, "But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." In other words, Jeremiah said, "I'm not going to talk about Jesus anymore. I'm not going to sing gospel songs anymore. I'm not going to go to the church anymore. I'm not going to do it." Ha! And on the inside of him, something started getting all over him. He said, "I'm trying not to sing the songs of God. I'm trying not to think about Jesus. I'm trying not to think about the Bible that my mom taught me, that my dad taught me. I'm trying not to think about the Bible that my preacher preached to me. I'm trying to ignore my youth director's direction. I'm trying to ignore the fact that my grandma wanted me to serve God. I'm trying to hide from God. I'm trying to get away from the things I know I ought to do. But I just can't block it out, because God keeps on bringing it to me." I have to tell you, at Christmas time, my oldest son and his wife and their three children came to visit us. And I've got a grandson named Trey and a granddaughter named Bella and then a granddaughter that is named Jacqueline. Jacqueline is as cute as a button. She's about 2.5 years old. And I was playing hide and seek with Bella and Jacqueline. We were in the kitchen, and I told them, I said, "Let's play hide and seek." And the girls were just excited about it. I said, "Okay, you guys go hide, and Papa will come find you." Okay, so Bella, who is about 4, that sound right, hon? Bella's about 4. She went to hide. I couldn't find her anywhere. Bella was out of sight. Jacqueline's 2.5. Let me show you how Jacqueline went to hide. I said, "Go hide." She scurried over to the corner. And I watched every move she made. She put her hands in her face and got in the corner and did this. And I said, "Now, Grandpa's coming to find you. Are you hiding?" She said, "Yes, sir." Hiding. She went and hid real good. Now, Bella, she was gone, but Jacqueline, she wasn't. Let me tell y'all something. There are times you try to mentally hide from God. You physically hide from God. You try to separate yourself from God, but you're just like Jacqueline. You think, "I'm out of his sight." No, you're not. You're convinced that you've distanced yourself from God. You've distanced yourself from the presence of God. You've distanced yourself from the Spirit of God. You've distanced yourself from the power of God. But I've got news for you, my friend. You can't hide from God. Not going to hide from him. And just as juvenile and immature as it was for Jacqueline to have her face covered and in the corner thinking that she was hidden, it's just as juvenile for you, Christian, to think that you can get away from God. I call the sermon, "Whither Shall I Flee?" Whither shall I flee? The sermon's simple. The concept's already delivered. Let's just drive it home for a couple more minutes. Whither shall I flee from God's Holy Spirit? The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 7, "Whither shall I go from thy Spirit?" Thy Spirit. See, has the Holy Spirit convicted you of something, but you're running from him? You can flee the Spirit of God, but you can't hide. You can't hide. He can find you anywhere you go. If there's somebody sitting in this section, the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to your heart about something. Maybe He did it in the past. You know what's going to happen today? It might pop up in a real powerful way during this sermon this morning. The Spirit of God wanted something of you, but you thought you ran from it. You thought you escaped it. You thought you're off the hook. I'm very sorry. He's got your number. You can't hide from the Spirit of God. Who in this section or this section, the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart? Maybe He spoke to you about your soul winning. Maybe He's spoken to you about your church attendance. I don't know. But He has spoken to you, but you avoided it. You thought maybe if enough water passes under the bridge, time will help me to escape the Spirit's conviction that has come in my life. You can run from the Spirit of God, but you cannot hide. What are you trying to run from that God has spoken to you about? Bad music? Hey, did you know something? Did you know that people, you can get drunk and you can get high. Spirit of God can still get at you. Still get at you. You can try to sleep your life away. I know people that will sleep to avoid the conviction. That's what Jonah did. Jonah was under conviction for not doing right, went to the bottom of a ship and tried to sleep off the conviction that the Spirit of God was placing on him. Hey, the Spirit of God can find you anywhere, anytime. Whither shall you flee from the Spirit of God? Number two, whither shall you flee from your conscience? From your conscience. In John chapter 8, verse number 9, it says, "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own consciences, went out one by one." Convicted by their own conscience. Not only do you have the Spirit of God that can track you down like a bloodhound, He'll find you. He'll get to you. You can't hide from the Spirit of God. And God placed inside your mind and inside your will a thing called a conscience. Your conscience, has it convicted you of something that you should not do? I happen to believe, Brother Edwards and I were talking about the Sunday school lesson about Zacchaeus. I happen to believe that one of the reasons Zacchaeus was ready to get right with Jesus, I think his conscience was bothering him because Zacchaeus was a bad dude doing bad things. And I think his conscience was starting to get to him. You can, and some of you work your conscience over pretty good. You get your conscience to the point where it's almost numbed. It's calloused. But I've got news for you. Until God is done using your conscience, it will be active in your life. And you say, there I was, and just all of a sudden that thing that I was doing started getting to me. You say, what is that? It's either the Spirit of God or possibly the Spirit of God pricking your conscience and telling you, God, hey, you can run from your conscience, but you can't hide. Your conscience will get to you. Does your conscience make you feel bad about stealing your tithe from God? Does your conscience make you feel bad when you stay home and watch TV instead of come to church? Say, well, it didn't. Well, probably will now that I mentioned it. One of the definitions of the word pastor is conscience. The Old Testament calls it the still small voice. Placed inside you, God put a mechanism that will remind you to do right. And when you do wrong, and it is self-activated, God will move in. Does your conscience bring to remembrance some sinful issue from which you've been running or hiding? The story of Achan was a unique story. Achan had taken some things from an accursed city, but God caught up with that. They didn't get away with it. They snuck around, thought they would get away with something. Folks, let me tell you something. You can sneak and you could pull one over on me. Young people, you can pull one over on mom. You can pull one over on dad. You can pull one over on your youth director. You can pull one over on the Christian school that you go to. You can pull one over on the authority in your life, but you'll never pull one over on the Spirit of God. You'll never pull one over on the conscience that is inside you. A few weeks ago, the coldest 48-hour period that we had here this winter, our power went out at the house and we didn't have heat. And we went to one room and it was cold in that room. So we thought that we would escape from that one room And so we went to another room in the house. But, you know, we couldn't escape the cold. So we thought maybe we could go to another room in the house. There was no escape, right, hon? It was cold. That's the way it was. You can run from room to room in your life all you want. But you cannot escape God. You will not escape His Spirit. You will not escape the conscience that He has put in you. But not only that, whither shall I flee from God's Word? In Psalm 147, verse 15, it says, He sendeth forth His commandment upon the earth. His Word runneth very swiftly. You know, His words, if you've heard the Word of God, there's been a little imprint on your brain, a little imprint in your heart, and you may think you can escape it, but the Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and the Word of God will haunt you. It'll haunt you. The Bible says it's very swift. Let me tell y'all something. If you don't like your pastor and some of the things I preach on from time to time, you can flee, but you'll never get some of the truth that I've preached to you out of your head. You can go to some liberal church that'll let you do what you want, dress the way you want, act the way you want, be what you want, and you can hide. But you're not going to hide from God. You're not going to hide from the Word of God. You can't do it. You can't hide from His Spirit. You can't hide from that conscience. You can't hide. The Word of God is powerful. It is everywhere. You can even get a friend to run with you if you want. There'll just be two of you going from room to room in a very cold world trying to escape something that you cannot escape. Do you run from the spiritual truth of forgiveness? Are you running from the spiritual truth of separation in your life? Do you run from tithing? Do you run from God's expectation that He has placed upon you? You can run all you want. You can do what Jacqueline did. But it's silly. You can cover your face so you can't see God, but you can't cover God's face where God can't see you. Whither shall I flee? You can't flee from His Spirit. You can't flee from the conscience that He's given you. You can't flee from the Word of God. Number four, whither shall I flee from thy chastisement? Job chapter 5, verse number 17, it says, Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty. The Bible teaches us that God corrects us. And He said, Job said, don't despise it when God is going to correct you. Hey, if God chastises, we would use the word spanks. He gives us correction, if you will. He's like our daddy. And if God is chastising or spanking you, whether you like this or not, you ought to thank God for that. You say, why? That means you're His kid. It's best that if you're going to discipline someone's child, I'd be disciplining your own. You can't go down to Walmart and grab one and say, well, I'm going to take care of this one. Though you're tempted, I've seen a few, I'm thinking somebody needs to take them out. I better specialize in taking care of mine, and you better specialize in taking care of yours. But if you're getting spanked in life, Christian, you ought to thank God for that, because that means God claims you. But let me tell you something. You can flee the chastisement of God, but you can't hide. God's going to spank you. You're going to get spanked. Well, I'll just run away. His paddle is as long as the distance between Him and you. It's an extension paddle. You can't hide. You can't hide. Well, I'll just go somewhere where they don't teach that. Well, you just go ahead. Well, I won't be able to hear you. Yeah, but you'll still have to hear God. You know, if my parents were going to apply the Board of Education to my seat of knowledge, I learned it was best to hold still and take it. That's just the best thing. Can I recommend to every Christian here that if God's going to spank you, just hold still, take it like a man, it'll be better for you. Folks, if God wants to spank you, hey, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. And God ain't got a wife to come say, oh, don't, you're going to kill him, you're going to kill him. That's why God's perfect. He ain't got a wife to pull him down. Now I'm in trouble. And I don't know any way out. I don't know what came over me. The devil made me say that. Y'all know Flip Wilson, a missionary? Don't, Morgan. You get me in more trouble. Just don't be antagonizing me right now. Whither shall I flee from thy spirit? You can't. Whither shall I flee from my conscience? You can't. Whither shall I flee from the power of God's word? You can't. Whither shall I flee from the chastisement of God? You can't. Whither shall I flee from the reaping process? You can't. You can't. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Folks, it says, don't be deceived. You can't hide from the reaping process. You can try to flee, but it's just like Jacqueline. You're going to cover your face in the corner, and you're going to be totally open and visible and findable by God. Folks, look, if you and I do wrong, God says there's a reaping that you'll go through. You say, well, God's trying to destroy me. Oh, no. God loves you. God's not trying to break you down into nothing. He's trying to make you up into something. And for some reason, the reaping is a part of that process. Safest place, let me tell you, and listen to this very carefully. The safest place in the world to reap for your wrong is in church, where you have a pastor and a family that will help you go through the reaping process. You mess up and you know God's going to spank you, or you're going to have to reap. Stick around. Let someone love you and help you through it. You say, but I would be embarrassed. Let me tell you something. Every last one of us have things about which we could be embarrassed. I don't think we ought to go around making people feel embarrassed. I think we ought to love them and say, I'm going to help you get through this because I've been where you're at. I've done some knucklehead things and God's had to correct me. Let's stick together and help each other get through this. That's how it ought to be. Whether shall I flee from the reaping process? I don't want to reap in the whale or the whale's belly. Bummer place to reap. Don't you think Jonah would have been better off down at the local New Testament Baptist church with somebody loving on him and helping him to get through the process instead of reaping in the belly of a whale on the ocean? I guess he made the reaping worse, didn't he? Don't you think wouldn't we be better reaping in our church than reaping the backside of a desert all alone? I don't want to reap in Moab. I don't want to reap in the whale's belly. I want to reap where somebody loves me and they'll help me and they'll guide me and they'll direct me and they'll hold me up when I don't think I can hold myself up. Whither shall I flee? Is what the psalmist said. Whither shall I flee from what I have been given? Whither shall I flee from what I have been given? You say, what does that mean, Pastor? Listen to the verse. Luke chapter 12, verse number 48 says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. Unto whom much is given, and look right this way. Unto whom much is given, much shall be required. Folks, now listen to this. You cannot escape the fact, if you have been given much. You say, what are you talking about? There are people in this room, you've been given a lot spiritually. You cannot escape the responsibility of what you've been given. First of all, anybody here that's saved, God gave His Son for you. You cannot escape the indebtedness that you have to Him because Jesus died for you, was buried for you, resurrected for you, and saved your sin-sick soul. You owe Him. To whom much is given, much is required or expected. But let me go to another thought. Some of you have been reared in excellent Christian homes. Excellent Christian homes. Your mom and dad taught you the Bible. They didn't just send you to church. They went to church with you. Your mom and dad, you knew they were saved. They were baptized. They joined the local church. They were careful what kind of church that they joined. They wanted to be in a church that would teach you right and preach right. And there's some of you, you watch that. Let me say to everybody in here, you can try to escape the responsibility, but your parents have given you a great heritage. You know the difference between right and wrong. You know how you ought to live. You can run. But you can't hide from that. You have to face that responsibility. Young people, you graduate from high school. It's not time to go out and spread your wings and go out and do anything you want and live any way you want. Stop going to church and stop serving God. You are responsible. You say, well, I'll run. Run away, baby. God will find you. The Spirit of God will find you. The Word of God will find you. Chastisement will find you. You will reap. You can't get away. Some of you have sat under great Bible preaching and teaching. There's some of you, you've pulled in, you've listened to CDs, you've heard great evangelists, you've heard great pastors, you've heard some great things. Let me explain something to you. You can listen to it and call it entertainment, but you are responsible for the truth that you heard, and to whom much is given, much is required. It is required. I had someone say to me, now pastor, you've paid your dues. You've been building churches all these years. You've paid your dues. I will have never paid my dues. I've heard from some of the greatest preachers that ever walked the face of this earth, and I owe a debt for what I have been taught. It is my job to carry it on. You can run, but you can't hide. You can. You can flee. Some of you, there are people in here, you're far better trained than you behave. There are some of you, you've seen it done, but you're just watching right now. You're responsible. See, you can flee, but you can't hide. I would say to the Christians that have been given good training, live up to your training. You might even wish you wouldn't have received it. You might say, well, I wish I wouldn't have grown up in my mom and dad's house. I wish I wouldn't have grown up with a grandmother or grandfather that loved God. I wish I wouldn't have sat under that great ministry. I wish I wouldn't have gone to that great Christian school. Yes, but you did. And you can tuck away and you can hide, but your conscience and the Spirit of God and the power of God and the Word of God and the conviction of God will still reach down into your heart. And when you're hiding on the furthest backside of the desert, God's there. So, well, what am I going to do about it? Don't run from Him. Don't run from Him. Do what He wants. You know, the birds do what God wants, just like that. The goats do what God wants, just like that. A giraffe will do what God wants, just like that. A donkey will do what God wants, just like that. Man will do what man wants, just like that. We're the only ones that rebel. A snail will do what God wants. But man runs. You can flee, but you can't hide. I'm finished, but I have one last point, and it's my favorite. Whither shall I flee from the great love of God? You can't flee from the love of God. Listen to this verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, We are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, what great news. He loves you right now. You say, I've been bad. God loves you. You say, I'm running from God right now. God loves you. You say, I'm out of God's will. Well, but God loves you. God loves you. Say, I've been wrong. God loves you. You say, I have been rebellious. But God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. He said nothing. Nothing will stop me from loving you. Now, there are things that will stop him from blessing you. But you can't stop him from loving you. He loves you when you're right. He loves you when you're wrong. You can't even stop him from loving you. That's not your choice. By the way, so much of what I've taught you today, it's not your choice. God said, I want my spirit, I want my word, I want these things, I want them. They're on you and they're going to stay on you. You can't get away from it. You can't hide. He loves you. Now, he hates your sin, but he loves you. Whither shall I flee? The sermon's very simple. You may think you can get away from God. You may think you could get away from His Spirit. You may mask some of the conviction He brings your way for a little while. If you're a born-again Christian, He's coming after you. And that's because He loves you. The fact that He doesn't give up is because He loves you. I want you to think for a moment. Has God convicted you about something that ought to be taken out of your life, that ought to be changed in your life, that ought to be bettered in your life, but you're not doing it? Has He today brought that to your remembrance again? That's just proof. Whither shall I flee? The psalmist said. And the answer was, they're nowhere. So why not just do what you're supposed to do and stop trying to run from the responsibility of it? You know what's funny about this sermon? I didn't call the roll on any sins. I didn't call the roll. I didn't mention a whole bunch of things that I was talking about. I just told you couldn't escape it. Has something come to your mind? I didn't bring that up. Somebody else might have been bringing that to your attention. You can't escape it. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I want to welcome you to the Savior. You ought to get born again. Let me tell you something about that. There's a place called heaven. There's a place called hell. Jesus Christ died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you, you will die and go to that hell. But you don't have to. You can get born again. You say, well, hey, you're making me feel bad about that. I'll just get out of here and forget about it. No, you'll never forget what I just told you. You'll toss and turn. You say, why? Whither? Shall I escape? Whither shall I flee? You won't flee the fact that God loves you and He wants you born again. You can't escape it. Might as well, you say, well, what should I do? Well, just go ahead and get saved. Why toss and turn when you get saved and get it over with? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask, first of all, this personal question. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you've never been born again, I welcome you to the Savior. We would like to see you get born again. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? You say, I need to be born again. How many of you here today would say, Pastor, I will not lie in church. I will not lie to myself. I'll not lie to God. I'll not lie to you. I am born again. If I died today, I know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Don't raise your hand if you're not saved. God bless you. You may put those hands down. Now, we take today's sermon, and I want it to apply to you. I want it to apply to me. Who here would say, Pastor, there's no doubt that God has spoken in my heart today. Some of you that are one way at church, but you're totally different away from church, it's time for some of you to knock that off. time for you to start living at home and at work and in the community like you're supposed to. You can't flee God. He's everywhere. Who here would say, preacher, there's no doubt this morning the Spirit of God has reached into my heart. He's prompted me. He's spoken to me about some things. I've been challenged by this sermon and God has spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Oh, hands everywhere. God bless you. You may put your hands down. This is what's going to happen. We're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a moment, the pianist will begin to play and we'll stand. When we stand, if you need a moment, this altar. Some of you need to use the altar every once in a while. Maybe that's something that God will convict you about. Maybe you just need to leave your seat, come down here, get on your knees for a second, and just say to the Lord, say, Father, help me. Help me. I don't want to run. I don't want to run from you. I want to run to you. And God, I've tried to push some things away. There's some things I know God wants me to change. I know you want me to change some things. I've tried to avoid them. I've tried to maybe distance myself from them. But again, today, you've reminded me I need to do some things for you. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. If you're a born-again Christian and you feel like there's just some things that you need a moment with God about, you come and you just talk to Him for a moment. If you're not saved and you need to be born again, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Whither shall I flee? You can't get away from His Spirit. There's somebody in here. Maybe you're new to our church. Maybe you've not been around long. But you know what? You came in here and you sat down and you say, you know what? There's some things that used to bother me about my life not being right. I'm going to promise you, if you left another church and there's something not right about your life, your plunking her down in my church is not going to help you to escape the conviction that you faced a year ago or 10 years ago. God will bring it back. You just can't get away from it. You say, I'll work all the time. Well, you work all the time, but you can't escape your responsibility. God will still come at you. I'll sleep all the time. I'll distance me by sleep from the reality of the things that I must do. You're going to wake up and God's going to say, I'm still here. I'll run. I'll get drunk. I'll get high. I'll get angry. I'll get vengeful. I'll get spiteful. I'll get hateful. I'll take all those emotions and I'll build a wall between me and that thing. A wall of emotion. God will climb right over your wall and He doesn't need to climb because He's on the other side already. You can run. You can hide. You can do what you want. But God can get where you're at and He will. Say, well, what do I do? Don't run. You say, okay, God, you want me to start going soul winning? I'll start going soul winning. You want me to tithe? I'll start tithing. You want me to get in the right kind of church? I'll do it. And I'll stop making up excuses and giving you all the reasons why I won't, and I'll start giving you the reasons why I will. Whither shall I flee? You cannot flee His Spirit. You cannot flee His Word. You cannot flee the conscience that He's given you. You cannot flee the chastisement or the reaping process. You cannot flee the responsibility. Because some of you have been given much. Well, then much will be required. That's God's way. And you can't flee His love. One more time through the song, Rachel, just one more time, please. have a seat there, if you will, real quick, folks. I'm going to tell you a very quick story. I've flown hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles as I've traveled across the world to preach. I was at an airport. I think I was in Chicago, if I remember correctly. It was a man who was about, looked like he's about 30 years of age, and he was standing by a gate getting ready to get on an airplane. I happened to be passing by him. He was very distraught, and I could tell that he was upset, and I just took a chance. I walked over. I said, "Sir, I'm a pastor." I said, "I'd like to be of a help to you if I can. I can tell you're very upset." I said, could you share with me? What's your burden?" He said, "My grandmother passed away." He said, "And I'm flying. She raised me," he said. "She raised me. She was my mom. My grandmother passed away, and I'm flying to see her." I said, "Oh, my." I said, "I love my grandma, too. I know what you're going through. I lost my grandma." And then I asked him this. I said, "Sir, I'm a Baptist." He said, "I'm Muslim." I said, "Okay. But let me ask you this question. Do you want to see your grandma again someday?" He said, "Well, yes." I said, "There's only one way." And I showed him the plan of salvation. I showed him to Jesus Christ. And he said this. He said, "My grandmother was a Baptist just like you." He said, "What you just told me about going to heaven, she told me when I was a child, and I didn't want it." He said, "How did you find me?" I said, "I didn't. God did." I said, "Sir, would you be willing to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's the only way you're going to see your grandmother again." He said, "I should have done this a long time ago." He said, "I've been running." He bowed his head, closed his eyes, and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Lost person, you can run, but you can't hide. Let me tell you, I want to show y'all something. If you've ever been in a church where the Spirit of God and the Word of God is very powerful, I'm talking about old time religion, you can go a million places, but you'll never be satisfied again. You'll never be satisfied again until you find that caliper of work. You can run all you want, but when you find it, you say, "That's it. That's it. That's it right there."